Good morning. Today is Sunday, December 13th, 2020. Well, in regard to prayer, we previously read in the Gospels about Jesus teaching his disciples how to pray. He actually prayed the prayer that Christendom knows as the Lord's Prayer, and then he told them to pray in like manner. It's much like we teach our own children to pray as we live our lives. They see, they hear us pray, and in a like manner, in their own words, they begin to pray. You know, they follow us. So now we'll read about prayer, the prayer lives of our brothers and sisters who are recorded in Acts, the book of Acts. In many of the records, the text of their prayers isn't even recorded. It just says they prayed. Yet, there is still great insight. And for the purposes of our study, far more important than increasing our knowledge of the various Greek words for praying, prayer, prayed, is enlarging our hearts concerning prayer. We want prayer-filled hearts. Etched in the fleshly tables of our heart, we can recall 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, those are weighty words, but the temptation is to say, oh, that was back then. That was in the first century church. Although there is history in both the Old and the New Testaments, in a spiritual sense, this Word of God is our ever-present guide to living in unison with God. Jesus said in John 6:63, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." And in 1 Peter 1:23, we read, "The word of God lives and abides forever." 1 Timothy 4:15 tells us, "Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all." And the word meditate means to care for, attend carefully, to ponder, to imagine, to let the things simmer and revolve in your considerations. Give thyself wholly to them means that scripture becomes your authority, that you agree with these words of life and you remain therein. And within this framework, your progress, your furtherance, your advancement, it becomes evident to everyone. Larry often likens it to the process of eating and digesting. You digest, and it becomes a very part of you. And what that is saying is you become what you eat. Spiritually, this is how you become godly. You digest the living truths and they enliven you. There is more to it than mimicking historical accounts. You know, we aren't after walking in their steps. We're after the heart of how they did the things that they did. So as we look at the prayers in the first half of the book of Acts, we are seeking spiritual insight that will direct us into a more meaningful fellowship with our Heavenly Father. Our earlier brethren demonstrated prayer-filled hearts. You'll recall an earlier teaching on prayer, that quote from George Mueller, I walk in the spirit of prayer. He was saying he had a prayer-filled heart. His heart was brimming. It was overflowing with prayers and praise, of course, to God. On the day of his ascension, Jesus commanded the apostles to stay put in Jerusalem, where they would wait for the promise of the Father. And he told them that they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:13 lists the apostles by name, and then verse 14 reads, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication." And the meaning of one accord is very enlightening concerning the body of Christ, where it says there's one body. It's very enlightening. It's a compound word, and it means to rush along and in unison. So to rush along in unison. The image is almost musical. It's a number of notes are sounded, which while different, they harmonize in pitch and tone. As an instrument of great concert, under the direction of a concert master, it's like the Holy Spirit blends together the lives of the members of the body of Christ. So it's a symphony. Each of these apostles obeyed the command. They were of one accord, and the scriptures say they continued in prayer. As they waited for the promise of the Father, they still conducted business. They still ate three a day. They went to sleep. They got up. They did what they normally did, but they were waiting, just like patiently waiting for the Lord's return. We're busy. We're doing what we know to do, but we are to stay put and wait. So Peter brought before them the need to select an apostle to fill the spot vacated by Judas. And, you know, their best considerations, they narrowed it down to two men. And those two men were Justus and Matthias. Now, both of these men had followed Jesus and the apostles. They started out with the baptism of John all the way to the day that Jesus ascended. Peter and the other apostles believed that either of these men could be ordained as an apostle, because they had, and that they could witness, the make witness of the resurrection. But there are two men and there's only one spot. So what did they do? The word of God says they prayed. Their words are recorded for us to know in verse 24. Acts 1:24. And they prayed and said, "Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whither of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship." So we know from this, the apostles carefully considered the process to the best of their earthly abilities, in addition to what they had already disciplined themselves to as disciples of Christ. They selected two men, but they put the selection before God for his final opinion, for his final selection. Another occurrence of prayer is in Acts 2:42. Where the apostles waited and were at the right place at the right time to receive God's gift. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit, just as Jesus told them on the day of ascension. And that's actually in Acts 2, the early part of Acts 2, not 2:42. Sorry about that. On that notable day, Peter preached a powerful sermon after receiving the gift. About 3,000 souls received his teaching and believed unto salvation. So now we have the apostles ministering among those who had believed on that great day. Now we're in verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear, awe, came upon every soul. And they had reason for awe. The apostles, It says many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and we're going to be looking at a few. And it does cause awe. The apostles continued in Jesus' doctrine, and now those new believers continued in the apostles' doctrine. They fellowshipped, they enjoyed meals together, they prayed. This record of prayers prayed does not give us the wording of their prayers, but even though they were all together, they asked of God, not of people. They ask God to supply their needs. This section is full of wisdom regarding prayer. Even though these about 3,000 continued steadfastly, their prayers were to God for their needs to be supplied. The verses following attest to all the disciples having whatever they needed. Prayers went up, blessings came down. And the way that worked is, the people prayed, the prayers went up, and God's blessings came down to the hearts of them that had to give. And they shared of their abundance, and they made sure, seeing a neighbor, they loved that neighbor as themselves. They took care of the needs. And the results in verse 43 through 47 really do speak for themselves. It was sheer awe of the goodness of God as it came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs done by the apostles. Every need was met. They shared those meals. They praised God. They had favor with all the people. And guess what? In that kind of environment, the Lord added to the church daily. They had effectual outreach. And there's a lot to eat and digest in those scriptures for sure. Now in Acts 3:1, it records that Peter and John headed to the temple for the purpose of prayer. And that is when the man lame from his mother's womb received his healing. Now there is no report that they prayed for the man, but said unto him, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now here's something to consider. We can be sure that Peter and John's prayers were up to date because they had prayer-filled hearts. They continued steadfastly in prayer. They lived, they walked in the spirit of prayer. They practiced the prayer-filled heart. They stayed primed and ready for any situation. And there they are going to pray once again. And this man had a need. And they spoke in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And on the heels of this great healing to the lame man, Peter then again spoke truths to those who gathered and who had witnessed this. He spoke plainly, and there was no mistaking what he was telling them. Of course, it captured unfavorable attention of the priest, the captains of the temple, and the Sadducees. So they grabbed Peter and John and put them in jail until the next day so they could have a little time to think over how to get rid of these two. Meanwhile, from among those who witnessed the lame man's healing, the word says about another 5,000 households believed. I've thought about this, and I believe any one of us would spend the night in jail for such a harvest of souls for Christ. I mean, you really have to put yourself in these records and think it through and really relate to what is going on. The next morning, the leaders threatened them that they stopped teaching about Jesus. But, of course, we know that wasn't going to work. These two men were not going to shut up. These two men went to their fellowship and told the fellowship all that had happened. And in Acts 4:24, we read another recorded prayer in the book of Acts, where we know what was prayed. And when, verse 24, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against this holy, thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Now, these men, as it is recorded, they already were speaking with boldness. And here in this record, after being commanded not to speak in the name of Jesus Christ, they're praying for even more boldness. It is interesting in this prayer. Their prayer did not involve asking God to take away the bad guys. They never mentioned that. They didn't bow their heads and give God instructions on how he should solve their difficulties. But they acknowledged the evil ones against Christ. They didn't blame God for this hardship. They asked for a change in their character. They wanted more boldness. They didn't ask for a change in circumstances. They followed Jesus' teaching. He told all of his disciples and apostles in John 16:33, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. They believed that. The apostles believed he had overcome the world. They believed what Jesus said in John 15:13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And, you know, I've always been thankful that Jesus laid down his life for me. But I have to say, it is a stretch to consider me laying down my physical breath life for another person. Now, I know in an instant if someone were drowning, you would jump in to help them and you might drown, but that wasn't your plan. I understand that kind of thing. But just to deliberately lay your life on the line for another person, it's hard to conceive. But there is much more to this. 1 John 3:16 kind of puts it all together. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So you go back to Acts. The heart of this question really is, would I put myself in harm's way, even possible martyrdom, for 5,000 households to gain eternal life? Would I spend a night in jail for 3,000 people? You know, but you can't just go helter-skelter into that, because to live this way requires a heart that overflows with close communications with God. The next occasion of prayer is in chapter 9. Now, a lot happens in this chapter. Paul gets born again. Initially, the beloved ones were terrified of Paul. So Barnabas comes in to take an active role in vouching for Paul's new birth, and it eases their hearts. Verse 31 reports that after the conversion of Paul, the churches had rest and were multiplied. Now, meanwhile, during all this, Peter was in Lydda and healed a palsied man sick in bed for 8 years. Now, it doesn't tell us that Peter prayed at all. All we know is that verse 34 tells us that he said to the man, "Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed." And the man was healed. He arose immediately. Continuing on to verse 36, there was a disciple named Tabitha who was full of good works, the Bible says. Well, she became sick and she died. Her friends laid her in an upper chamber and they called for Peter. And in Acts 9:40, Peter put all of the people out of the room. He put them all forth and knelt down and prayed. And turning him to the body, said, "Tabitha, rise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. So it does say he prayed, but again, we don't know the words that he prayed. But we know the circumstances. We know the situation for which he prayed. And in response to his prayer, Tabitha arose. Chapters 10 and 11 shine light into the prayer lives of two men. Very interesting section in the Word, very pivotal. Peter and Cornelius were the two men. Of course, Apostle Peter, we've been reading about his life of prayer. Now, Cornelius was a Gentile. He was also a military officer in the Roman Empire. Scriptures tell us Cornelius was a devout man. He had a tender heart for God, along with his entire household. He gave to the needy, and he prayed to God always. It's an amazing record for Peter, a Judean, leading the first household of Gentiles into the new birth. It's truly a pivotal point in the life of Peter. In chapter 12, Herod the king is out to kill certain ones in the church, and already he has had the James, the brother of John, killed. Now, this is not the James who wrote the epistle of James. This particular James died before the date that epistle was written. But apprehending Peter, he put him in prison where he was under lock and key of 16 soldiers who took shifts to secure that he stayed right where he was supposed to be. And in Acts 12, verse 5, Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So we have two locations here. One location is the prison where Peter is chained to two guards, with two other guards guarding the prison door. The second location is the home of Mary, who was the mother of John Mark. And at her home, many are gathered praying. We have two situations here. At Mary's home, believers are praying to God without ceasing. Meanwhile, back at the prison, Peter is chained to two guards, and he is sleeping. As soon as morning comes, the guards are going to take him to Herod. It's totally negative, and it's very real. These are dire circumstances in Peter's life. Yet, who's asleep? Peter. Peter is sleeping. He's not anxious about the morning. He is up to date on his prayer life. His heart is filled with prayer. I mean, most of us would be placing a 911 to God saying, "Save me." But here's Peter. He was asleep. Two places, two situations. Prayer in Mary's home was about to change what was going on in the prison. an angel of the Lord stood beside a sleeping Peter and awakened him. The chains fell off his hands, and the angel said to Peter, "Follow me." Peter did as the angel said because his life was devoted to following. He was a follower. He followed instructions from the Lord Jesus. He followed his teachings. He followed God. He prayed to God for direction before he took steps. He did as the angel said. But you know what? He thought he was dreaming. He thought this was a dream. I can imagine. Once they were a distance from the prison, the angel departed. And then when Peter realized he wasn't dreaming, he knew the Lord sent an angel and delivered him out of the hand of Herod and from all the cruel expectations of the people. So Peter went straight to the home where the prayers were being made. And this is a great chapter. Do read it. It's just so wonderful. Peter called out to them, and Rhoda, one of the believers, recognized his voice. And in her excitement, she didn't even open the door for Peter, but she ran to tell the rest of the group that was praying that Peter was outside. So even though they were praying without ceasing, they thought Rhoda was delirious. Poor Peter kept calling, and at last they opened the door. And the word says they were amazed. Astonished, I think it says. Peter declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. So, you know, here are just a few enthralling records about prayers being made to God. All kinds of needs. Reflect on those. Why did they pray? What were the circumstances? You know, some we get the words that they prayed, some we just know that they prayed. But we can imagine what they must have prayed, especially in light of our manner of prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. All kinds of needs, all kinds of situation, all kinds of negative, sad details, cruel details, threatening details, all through them. There's this one striking repetition, is that the first century church, they had prayer-filled hearts. So I encourage you to continue in Acts. There's still a lot of records following, reading records concerning prayers to God. Are we up to date in our heart prayers so that we sleep in peace, knowing that God is taking care of us? So let's determine to walk in the spirit of prayer. Let's figure this out. Let's read the word and revolve it in our hearts and determine that we offer our prayer-filled hearts to God throughout our days. God bless you.